In our text for today, Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, as we said. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was, as Scripture tells us, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And in this conversation, Jesus and Nicodemus talk about eternal life. But the title of our sermon for this morning is When Crisis Comes Home. So how does this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus about eternal life connect with the current crisis that we are experiencing and have been experiencing for more than a month now? Well, for just a moment, let's step away from this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We'll come back to it in a few moments, but I want to invite you to think with me just for a moment about the different kinds of crises that invade our homes and our lives. The truth is that beyond the coronavirus, we all experience times of crisis. No one is immune from the difficulties of life. It doesn't matter how faithful you are in our spiritual lives. It doesn't matter how devoted we are to Christ and His teachings. It doesn't matter our age or our economic status or even our job title. None of these things allow us to escape times of crisis in our lives. All homes, all families, all individuals face and experience times of crisis. So what kinds of crises do we experience? Well, generally speaking, there are four different categories of crises that come into our lives. First, we have acute crises. These are sudden, unexpected events in our lives. They would be things like an illness, a job loss, an unexpected death in our family. These would be acute crises for us. But we also have chronic crises. These are things that are of an ongoing nature. Continual arguments in the home. Abuse. Chemical dependency. Substance abuse. Eating disorders. Disability. These are chronic, ongoing crises that we all experience. Then thirdly, there are developmental crises that we go through in our lives. These are related to stages of life. For example, the stresses of getting married or of having children or graduation or retirement or the empty nest or all of these things that relate to a certain stage of life and the crises that develop there. And finally, fourth, we could talk about the category of disaster. Crises are often disasters. These would be fire, floods, tornadoes, storms, worldwide pandemics. And we should say this morning that the stresses and the disasters and the crises of our lives cross lines from these categories. In other words, we know that very well, a pandemic, a disaster crisis, can also lead to an acute crisis of a job loss or financial stress. So this list is not exhaustive, but at least gives us an idea of the kinds of crises that we face in our lives that invade our homes and our lives. So what do we do? What happens when a crisis comes home? Well, if we are honest this morning, generally one of two things generally happen when a crisis invades our lives. One, family members can turn against one another. The crisis can cause stress and anxiety to increase, and family members, people living in their homes together or people living close by one another who are in constant contact, can take their anger and frustration out on one another. The family is harmed, relationships are damaged, words are often spoken that can never be retrieved. That's one possibility of how we respond to a time of crisis. But the other option, the other thing that often happens is that families and individuals can draw on a variety of resources to actually strengthen their relationships during times of crises. In fact, a crisis in our life can actually cause us to draw closer to one another and closer to God. Several years ago, I learned something that I thought was very interesting about the concept of crisis in the Chinese language. As you know, the Chinese language has characters or symbols for words and concepts. And the character for crisis in the Chinese language is most interesting. This character is actually the combination of two different symbols that are placed together and form a new and unique symbol. The two symbols that come together are on the one hand, danger, and on the second, opportunity. In other words, the concept of crisis in the Chinese language is the combination of danger and opportunity. I'm reminded as I think of that symbol that any crisis that comes into our life always involves those two elements. There's always an aspect of danger with every crisis we experience, but there is also at the same time the possibility for opportunity. Think with me about those two aspects of a crisis. Danger. The most intense danger during a crisis, we've already referred to, is broken relationships with the people we love. In fact, a crisis always holds within it the possibility of our relationships being irreparably damaged. Several years ago, I had a conversation with a man who was then 40 years old. But he told me about his memory of the breakup of his family when he was 12. 28 years earlier, he remembered vividly what had happened. He knew, even as a 12-year-old, his parents had a terrible relationship. They rarely spoke, they rarely talked to one another, but when they did, it was generally a heated argument or some kind of conflictual confrontation. So generally, his father stayed away from home most of the time and continually broke promises to his son and to his family. Well, the boy, when he was 12, was in scouts, and the troop planned a father-son campout. And looking back on that experience years later, the man told me what he remembered as it happened. He said, "I was thrilled. My father promised this time we would go together. So on Friday afternoon, I rushed home and I got all the gear together for my father so he wouldn't have to do anything. I put it all out on the front porch and I sat there eagerly waiting for 5 o'clock to come when I knew my father would come home from work and we could go on the father-son camp out. And I waited and waited and waited. My father finally came home at 8:30, he said. The only thing he said to me as he walked up the steps to the porch was, "Rough day at work. We'll have to catch up with the group first thing in the morning." I was disappointed, said the man, but I decided to make the best of it. First thing the next morning, I was up as early as I could and had everything loaded in the car, ready to go. My dad had said we would leave at 7 a.m. He got up at 9:30. When he saw me and saw all the gear loaded in the car, he simply said, "I've got a bad back. I can't sleep on the ground. I hope you'll be a big boy and understand. But please get all of that stuff out of my car. I've got things to do today." So the man said, "I took all of the stuff out of the car and I went and sat in my room and I just sat there at the window looking out, and when my dad thought I wasn't looking, he went and put his golf clubs in the trunk of the car and drove to the golf course. That was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. My mom finally left my dad, he said, and I have not spoken to him since. That's the danger of a crisis. A crisis, any kind of crisis, always holds within it the possibility of permanent brokenness and damaged relationships. Every crisis that comes into our lives, whether it's big or whether it's small, has the potential to create danger. That symbol, that aspect of a crisis is always true. But let us this morning not forget that other symbol of a crisis. That second symbol is so important. For just as every crisis has the potential for danger, it also always offers the possibility for opportunity. This is where we need to come back to the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. The real crux of the matter of their conversation was this question from Nicodemus: Jesus, what is really important in life? That's not exactly the words Nicodemus used, but that's the essence of what he was asking Jesus. Jesus, what is most important in life? In other words, Nicodemus came to Jesus wanting to know what he should focus on in life. What was it that really mattered? Now, it's important to remember, Nicodemus was a person who already had basically everything in life. He had authority. He held a prestigious position as a Pharisee. He was respected for his place in society and for the achievements that he had accomplished. He was a wealthy person, for no one became a Pharisee in this time, in this age, without money. Nicodemus seemed to have everything. But isn't it ironic? Nicodemus, this man who seemed to have everything, came to Jesus, a man who seemingly had very little, to seek his advice. Jesus had no prestigious position. He was not a member of a ruling body. He was certainly not wealthy. Jesus had none of the things that Nicodemus had in his life. But Jesus had something Nicodemus knew he did not have in his life. Jesus had peace. He had assurance. He had a sense of satisfaction. He had a joy that was evident and obvious to everyone who knew him. And all of it clearly came from a deep and abiding, meaningful relationship with God. The life of Jesus certainly centered on that which is most important in life, and Nicodemus knew that. So he wants to learn how to get that same experience of life for him. So basically, Nicodemus came to Jesus saying, "Look, I know you are from God. You obviously have something in your life that gives life meaning and purpose. What is it, Jesus? What is really important in life? What should I focus on?" And what follows is a conversation about eternal and abundant life. After Nicodemus' question, Jesus replies, "I'm glad you know that I am from God, but listen, you cannot see the things of God unless you are born again." Jesus is basically saying, "You see the miraculous signs that I do, but you cannot fully understand what I do unless you know who I am." But Nicodemus doesn't understand this. So he asks Jesus, "I don't know what you're talking about. How can a person be born again? Surely you cannot re-enter your mother's womb." And Jesus says, "I'm not talking about physical matters. I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about spiritual matters and spiritual birth. In other words, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you're so focused on the things of this world. You're so focused on the things you see, the material things that are all around you. But I'm not talking about these matters. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about ultimate matters, things of eternal value in life. You should not be surprised by this, Jesus says. You believe in God. You need to focus on the things that are spiritual in nature. But Scripture says Nicodemus still does not understand. So Jesus responds with a rather lengthy instruction and basically says, listen, Nicodemus, to understand what's important in life, you need to focus on things of the Spirit, things of God. Don't worry so much about the events and circumstances and what's happening right now in this present moment in your life, but instead take the bigger picture and look at the spiritual matters of God. If we could paraphrase what Jesus was saying, I might say it this way. The things in life that truly matter are not the circumstances and situations that we face day in and day out. It's not what is happening to us that Jesus says should be our focus. Instead, the things that have ultimate value are the things of God, the eternal matters that relate to God's Spirit. Jesus teaches us when times of crisis impact our lives, we have a tremendous resource. And that resource is our relationship with God. This morning, let us remember nothing in this world can take the place of our relationship with God. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, unless you have an intimate personal relationship with God, then there is nothing else in this world that can change your life for the better. There is no pill that you can take. There is nothing you can drink. There is no relationship you can have with another person. There is nothing you can buy. There is no other remedy in this world that can take the place of your relationship with God. As we said a few weeks ago, only God can fill the void and empty places of your life. When times of crisis come, those who draw closer to God always fare much better than those who do not. Those who pray, as our scripture passage we read earlier in the service said, those who pray, those who stay connected with their church, those who stay in touch with God, those are the ones who always fare better in times of crisis. Numerous studies have demonstrated to us the incredible positive impact that prayer can have during times of crisis. But we don't need a study. We know that is true from our own experience. When crises impact our lives, there is no substitute for our relationship with God. There is no substitute for prayer. Dr. Donald Barnhouse was a greatly admired pastor. And the story goes that he once came to the pulpit and he made a statement that stunned his congregation. On Sunday morning in the packed sanctuary, Dr. Barnhouse said, "Prayer changes nothing." And as the story goes, you could have heard a pin drop in that packed sanctuary. But of course, Dr. Barnhouse was being overly dramatic to make a point. We know that prayer often changes our world. But Dr. Barnhouse's point was, God is sovereign. God is in charge of everything. Our lives are literally in God's hands, and God is in control. And even though we pray, there are always going to be times of crises in our life. Even though we pray, crisis will still happen. Crises will still come to us. In fact, the crises we are experiencing actually may not change. But we will be changed when we pray. Prayer often changes our world, but prayer always changes us. When we pray, we are changed. When we pray, we are given the strength and the encouragement to trust God, to love our families better, to plow through the circumstances and the situations that we are currently experiencing in life when we pray. When we pray, we lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus rather than relying on our own strength. When we pray, we are given glimpses of how God sees the world and not how our limited vision tells us the world really is. When we pray, we are given strength and encouragement to change ourselves, even when the circumstances and situations of our lives do not change. This morning, if we listen very carefully to Jesus' words to Nicodemus, then we will hear Jesus say, not only to Nicodemus, but also to us, keep your eyes on that which is most important. Keep your eyes on that which is of God in every circumstance and situations, in the good times and even and especially in times of crisis. Trust God. Pray to God. And love those God has placed in your life as if there is no tomorrow. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, these are difficult days for us. God, we experience such a roller coaster of emotions day by day, hour by hour. And the uncertainty of the future is this black cloud that seems to never leave us. And we often find ourselves afraid, confused, worried, and troubled. But Lord, we're reminded today from your word that every crisis includes the possibility of opportunity. Every difficult experience of life includes the possibility that we might come to know you more and better, that we might discover deeper and more meaningful aspects of our relationship with you, and that you might bless our lives in unexpected ways through the most difficult times of life. So this morning, Lord, thank you for the good news that comes on the lips of Jesus Christ as he speaks to Nicodemus and to us. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you give us the strength and the courage to serve you and to love you each and every day. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.